I came here this morning prepared to give a message. But when Scott was praying and when these guys were singing, I don't know if it's time. So I'm going to just pray for a minute and you guys be still. And if you need to do something with God, do it. Heavenly Father, we just love you. And we know it's going to be worth it. But I just pray right now in Jesus' name that it doesn't matter what I'm doing. Father, I want to be transparent to your Holy Spirit. So we're just going to be still and know you're here. We just love you, Lord. I pray for healing. Pray for guidance. We just honor your Holy Spirit, Father. We thank you that you love us. I pray for those ones right now, Lord, that are praying for you. They don't know what to do, but they're here. Pray, Father, that they would have an encounter with you right now in the Holy Spirit. We just love you so much. We thank you for all the blessings you've given us all. And we just want to honor you. Happy New Year. You know, Jim told me that if it was a cold day that I'd get a chance to speak. And so here I am. Someone said that. Just kidding. But not really. Guys, that Holy Spirit's alive and well here. And, you know, it's not about what we see you do. It's not about, you know, if you come down and pray or if you raise your hands or if you stomp your feet or if you leave crying. It's not about any of that. It's about your heart with him. So those of you here now, and I pray that you're attuned totally to what God would have you be and do in here. Amen? And that's an honor and a privilege to be the guy in front of you. Mockery is the greatest form of flattery, so to for those of you that need your gym fix, I'll try a couple things, but, you know, there's no way I can laugh like him, or I sure don't look like him. I could never be that pretty. And, but anybody ever seen this sign before? 20 years ago when I moved here, everybody was giving me a hard time. Who are you for? Alabama? Are you for Tennessee? Are you for, you're sure not for Florida? And I'm like, no, I'm for Oklahoma. Well, who are they? Oh, they've been around a while, just not right here. And so anyway, I got my chance to, because I may never get another one to let you guys know. There's a guy named Scott that's my best OU friend here, but I didn't know if he's here or not. But anyway, that was my gym fix. So getting started on the message today, I want to tell you, at beginning of the new year, you know, if it's on everybody's mind like it is on mine, is what am I going to do? What's this year got in store for me? How do I handle what? Oh no, is it going to be a good year? Is it going to be a bad year? You know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's kind of what we want to talk about today. And you know, the world has a way of doing that. If you remember the movie Men in Black and how they used to get out the propaganda from the supermarkets, it said that was the hot sheets, and say, well, this is what's in store. Well, if you go to the grocery store now and get them, they got their predictions for this year. And I'm sure all of you have been reading up on that and studying them. But anyway, it's in there, and there's some pretty crazy things, and you can't really make this stuff up. If it was on the internet, I'd tell you it was for the truth because it was on the internet. But for example, Elvis has been found, and he's working at Waffle House in Memphis. So it says this picture of Elvis with the Waffle House hat on, you know, and I'm like, but that looks so real. That's so real. Yeah. Yeah, and then there's going to be a major shakeup in Hollywood this year, you know, and there's going to be, you just keep reading through. It's the same old stuff, only you just fill in the blanks, you know. There's going to be earthquakes, and there's going to be a devastating floods. And we're like, yeah, we know that. All we got to do is look in the book. We know those things are going to happen. And one that you can't disregard is I saw it said there was going to be a lottery winner come out of humble beginnings in North Georgia, a retired postal worker. And he invested all of his winnings into a line of auto parts and stores all over the country, and it was called Southern Parts, you know, around here type thing. And it was a rival to Duck Dynasty, and they was doing really good, but something about he squandered his fortune and went into seclusion in an area called Rockmart. And all he did was eat no-bake oatmeal cookies, and he just, all his money went for that, and that was it. I didn't make that up, did I? Yeah, I did. All right, the scripture that I have, I'll cover myself really quickly. It's Philippians 3, verses 12 through 14. So when you try to think about what you're going to do for the year, Paul had it all kind of figured out. And he said this beginning in Philippians 3, verse 12. By the way, there is a little thing for you to write stuff down, but I'm not very good at filling in the blanks because I don't follow the blanks very well myself. It's either dyslexia or Oklahoma mentality or something. But anyway, verse 12, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. And finally in 14, Paul says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your word and for your scripture and for your Holy Spirit. Father, may it be forever, forever upheld. In Jesus' name, amen. So, verse 12, Paul says, I'm not perfect. You know, so I want you to start thinking about, okay, what where are you at in some of this stuff, you know? He says, I'm not perfect, but I press on toward the one that is perfect. So I know I'm going to screw up. However, if I can keep moving the direction toward the one that is perfect, I'm getting somewhere. And in verse 13, he says, family, I haven't got it all figured out yet. You know, I don't claim to know all there is about this deal, but I know you got to forget the past and look forward to the future. And finally, in 14, it's, you know, you got to just keep on moving. You got to keep on moving toward God. And so when you put those in context for this year, the first thing you got to think about is the past. You know, how'd I get here? Where'd I came from? So I got a picture of where I came from. I want to show you this. Those of you that may know that my father passed away just a little bit ago. And this is in eastern Oklahoma in the 1939. And if you can't recognize him, he's in the second row from the top. That guy that looks like me, kind of. And all the brothers and sisters are in there. There's six of them. And then we have three Choctaw cousins that are in there also. And that's where I come from. And I was able this Christmas when we drove to see my mom in the nursing home and my family to drive through this little spot. It's in the eastern Oklahoma. And I said, girls, this is it. This is where your grandpa came from. This is where we started. And they're like, oh, good. And we just kept on going through there, you know. Because there wasn't really anything left. There's not even, this is in front of an old school. It's no long been since gone. So you say, well, you said that Paul said you got to forget your past. And that's true, but you got to understand that there's a good past and a bad past. The past shows us how far that we've come on our journey. That's what you got to remember about the past. When I look at that, when I'm at my lowest point, I can look at that and think about what these guys had to go through to get me where I'm at now. You know, my dad worked hard all his life. When he was that age right there, he was already doing men type work. My grandfather had left home and there were six kids and dad was the oldest boy. So he worked in the fields all the day. And then he did that too. And, you know, so he didn't know what it was like to be a little kid. He never got a chance. And I know that he and I, we always had troubles because I never could measure up to what my dad wanted me to be. But he didn't know how to show me because his father never showed him. But it helps me. It heals me to look at that. So I want to challenge you to understand something that you got to remember the things in the past that are good, but don't remember the things that prohibit your moving forward. Does that make sense to you? Because there's a ton of things that you can go back and say, man, if I would have just bought that house, I would have been fine. Or if I'd have just taken that job, or I can't believe I lost a loved one. That's the hardest right now for me. I can just focus on that and understand it better now than ever. I've counseled a ton of people, but I never lost my dad. It changes everything. I wanted to tell him, hey, Dad, Oklahoma won. Finally, because Dad said it never happened, you know. but I couldn't talk to him anymore. You know, forgetting the past, it's a mind thing. With a heart thing overruling your mind. That's what Paul's trying to tell you. He says, press on and forget the things that are going to hold you back. But see, every day when you wake up in your mind, you're going to remember those bad things if you let yourself. But see, if you count on your heart, the heart of Christ that beats in your chest, the heart of salvation, the only way your Redeemer can talk to you is in your heart. And you go, wow, you know, that was bad, but you know what? I choose not to remember that. That's what Paul's saying. Make a choice to say, look, I'm not going to let that hold me down from being all that I can be. It's a hard thing. Present. Where are you now? Who are you? That's always a good one for me too, because it's like, you know, the hardest thing for me, and I don't know about you guys, is that if I don't know clearly who I am, there's all kind of people around that's going to tell you who you are. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you can say, well, hey, here I am. I showed up and I got on a coat today. Well, Jim never wore a coat. What are you trying to be, hotsy-totsy? No, I'm trying to stay warm, basically. However, it does cover up anything else that I don't want anybody to see, so I can wear a coat. Jim maybe should try that sometime. No, just kidding. This isn't the one you get to save, is it? But I mean, you see, everybody's got an opinion. Everybody can tell you, so especially when you get in ministry. You know, when I started doing ministry all those years ago, I thought, man, this is going to be a piece of cake. You know, I met Fred Painter 20 years ago. We worked together, and then when I moved out here, you know, he took me in, you know, and that's another story. And then he showed me Jesus, and I came to know Christ, and I met Jim at the feed store. They used to sit around there and talk and tell stories, and Jim would laugh so crazy. I'm like, that guy's got to be a Fruit Loop dude, or what's going on with him? But no, he's a Christian. I'm like, no, Christians don't have that much fun. But he showed me by having fun. I'm like, you know what? I guess I can slide into that deal. And so when I became a Christian, then I became like a Christian. I waited so long to do it that, you know, hey, man, don't. And the thing that worked for me is that I didn't have any background, so I didn't know any rules. You understand? I didn't know what you're supposed to do. I didn't know this is how we got where we're at. I remember one time in Sunday school listening, and Fred was teaching on the Beatitudes. And I'd get my Bible because I was always good at, like, wanting to be the guy talking because I was trying to really act like I knew everything and I was wanting to know. And so I, Beatitudes, I'll read. And I'm looking in the contents for Beatitudes. Finally, Sydney Strimble says, hey, hotshot. If y'all know her, you understand what I'm talking about. She said, hey, hotshot, you think that Bible's going to just jump off into your head? You need to read it. Boy, and it got me lined out, you know, and that's another whole story too. But you don't know it until you know it. So When I came into my Christian walk, I had guys that showed me. You see? But my past marked where I'm at now. So in the present, everyone of us has a tendency to try to listen to what the world tells us. And the greatest thing I can do, in Genesis 1, 31, it says, and God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. So you got to remember that. Because if God made it, it's good. As Jim would say, and God ain't made no junk. Guarantee you that. Ain't no junk here. Maybe some in the junkyard, but not here. See, God said it was good. That you're good. I spent a lot of time traveling a lot of places and going to events, Christian events, and there was a group that I got hooked up with called To Write Love on Her Arms. And they're out of New York. And their whole deal came out of, they met this girl, a couple men in a band, met this girl basically in the dump of New York City, and she had scrawled in blood with a razor all over her arms, obscenities about who she really thought she was. And it was just terrible. And she didn't believe that she was worthy of anything. So these guys got in behind her and they started using her, and God lifted her up and made her a spokesperson. And so all of a sudden here are all these young girls in their ages 13 to 25 getting this testimony from this young girl that said, look, I'm worthy. This is who I used to be, but now God made me this, and I'm good. I'm good. And nobody can take that away from me. And it's powerful to sit there and watch these girls that just sit there, and they're just like, and then watch their eyes open and realize, yeah, God didn't make any junk. So you got to know who you are. So you got to know where you came from to mark your path, your progress. You got to know who you are so that you can step in to where you got to be. Okay? So in the future, what does press on mean? Not the nails. Not press on nails. Press on. Well, in my definition, it says this. Notice that I didn't use any. Never mind. It simply means, press on means to move forward, focused on a goal. Focused on a goal. In 1 Samuel chapter 15, it says to obey is better than sacrifice. What does that mean? To press on, to focus toward a goal. It's obedience, you see. You can spend all your time doing something, pressing on. You think you're doing fine. I'm just working. I'm working it. I'm working it. I'm working it. But if you're not obedient to what God's told you, you're working on your own power. You see, what press on really means then is to work on, focus to what God has given me as a calling, as a direction. That's what press on means. I'm good. I know that I'm wonderfully made. I know that God loves me. So now I can press on and use what he's given me to be all that I can be for God. That's what press on means. In the Bible, John Mark is a guy that I wanted to talk about this morning. He went on a crusade with Paul, the very first one. And the Bible recounts that when he went on this journey with Paul, he did not complete it. John Mark left somewhere toward the end of the journey and went back home. Now, all the smart guys got that all figured out, why he went back home, and, you know, that his mother needed him, his family had an emergency. Who knows? I don't know, you know. But he didn't finish the journey. So Paul pressed on by himself to finish up the journey. But when he got back, where was John Mark? You know, Did he chew John Mark out and say, okay, look, man, you killed me here. I needed you. We were going to do ministry together, and now look what you did. You chickened out on me. Why? No, I don't think that's what happened. What did happen was this, is there was a guy by the name of Barnabas. Anybody ever heard of Barnabas? Barnabas was the same guy, by the way, that when Saul became Paul, when he became a servant of God instead of a serial killer for God. When he changed, he made that big transformation. And when he did that, Barnabas took Paul to the upper room the first time, and he introduced him to the apostles, and they said, well, hey, wait a minute, what are you bringing that guy here for? You can't bring that guy in here. He's bad news. He's like, no, fellas, you got to trust me on this. I figure he talked like that because he had to be kind of a easygoing guy. He said, I've seen him in action. He's okay. Y'all just give him a chance. Well, we'll trust what you say. And it didn't take long for the Holy Spirit to do that. Well, everybody, you know, and Brother Scott said it right at the beginning, that we're in this together. You know, we've got to have a Barnabas in our life. We got to have somebody that we can trust to stay with us and help us, because sometimes we don't know which ends up. So Barnabas showed up with John Mark, and so Paul went on the next one with Silas. And these guys, he said, well, I'll take the young guy and we'll go do our deal. Later on, after it was all over with, Mark wrote the first gospel. And when Paul was at the end of his life, he said, bring Mark to me, for he is of value. I want you to understand that. Sometime when you press on, you may not go exactly the right direction, but that doesn't mean that it's over. That's a good word. You can say that, even if I made it up. I didn't. The Holy Spirit just told you that. It is a good word, that even if you pressed on and you went the wrong direction, it still is not over, because you can go wherever God calls you to be. He doesn't leave you nor forsake you. He doesn't misguide you. He's like, okay, I'm going to send a little helper for you. And that's what happened. North Point Construction. That's what I wanted to bring up. You'll never be the same after you hear this. When we started this project years and years ago, by the way, I came by here and saw the sign that said North Point coming soon, whatever you want to say it said, or somebody said it. And I'm like, hey, can I bid on that? Because guess what happened to me? I'd worked 12 years for a construction company, and they let me go. I thought, my goodness, I just finished up Barnsley Gardens, and I'm doing all this. And they came in, and they said, by the way, we got to let you go. I'd never been fired before. So I bid on this job and on this church, and I knew everybody, but I got awarded the contract out of three bidders. But the interesting part was that the bid that I had was still almost $400,000 lower than what they thought it would cost. I mean, higher than what they thought it would cost. And so what do you do? Well, he's not here now. David said, we just press on. We'll figure this out. What do you think? And we prayed together as a group, and Paxton's brother was, and we just prayed, and God revealed, and we just said, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to build North Point Church in phases. Phase one will be, you know, the sanctuary and the bathrooms and all that. We'll get the building built, and we'll just finish these. Phase two will be the classrooms and the kitchen, and, oh, phase three, by the way, never even happened. Phase three was a steeple. Y'all ever seen the steeple that's here? Nope. Hey, it also included the brick around all the building. You ever seen that? I hadn't. It also included a new driveway and everything off of 41. Yeah, any of y'all seen that? So they decided, we'll just take those concessions out because we don't really need them yet. And when God opens the door, we'll do it. That's pressing on, right? Well, as it went on building the construction of this thing, this whole area here in the sanctuary, it's not on the plans. There's no decorations. The stage just mentioned stage, but it didn't have any of this. So we started building this thing, and as we got into this, they came to me and they said, by the way, we need you to talk to Lee because we're going to put a screen up. Oh, instantly, nobody knew this, but to me, I had fear because I knew that these two walls are not equal. So it didn't matter because there was nothing between them. But then when we put in this, now look here, this one there, you'll never come in here the same. Look on the left side at that ceiling tile. Now look on the right side at that ceiling tile. Now you'll remember that. Here's the thing. We could have said, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? They added this and now it's going to, and nobody, you know what I said? We're just going to press on because it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really matter, you know. I had a friend that goes to church here, and his wife called me one day. This was years ago, and he said, "You got to come help him. He's lost a whole house of chickens Then this morning he went to see them, and he opened the door to see what's going on, and they're all dead overnight. They all suffocated. And so, you know, I went over there, and he was just sitting with the big garage door open, just looking at all these dead chickens. How many of y'all know that if you're going to help people, it's messy? You know, when these people that don't have heat, that need heat, if you jump in there and say, I'm going to go help them, it's not going to be easy. So I got there, and a couple other folks showed up, and it's like, well, you want to say, well, what can we do? Well, you don't need to say that. You just reach down, and you pick up a chicken, and you pick up another chicken, and another. And 20,000 chickens later, you get them all picked up. And 20,000 chickens later, you all look at each other and go, okay, let's press on. The same guy last year in the tornado lost 2/3 of his business. Again, 4 houses just decimated by the tornado. So what did he do? He pressed on. You know what he told me the other day? He said, you know what? 2013 was not a very good year for me and you, was it? I go, no, not really. But he says, you know what? I'm going to change that, because it was a good year for me because I got 2 new grandbabies. You know? God knows what he's doing. another thing I'll share with you. When Katrina happened all those years ago, and this is another example of what it takes to press on. We were involved from the beginning because our chairman was, his dad was on the mayor's council in Biloxi. That's where they live. So we're out there sitting on the interstate as the Katrina hits Biloxi. And as we're there, there's all kinds of trucks there. Ice trucks, trucks with diapers, relief, different organizations, and they're all sitting there. And after it passes through, we're all ready to go. And they, oh no, boys, nobody can go. No, it's not safe. And then a guy came in from the Alabama Power. He says, oh, we got guys to cruise it, but we can't get to the lines because the roads are all covered up and there's branches everywhere. And you know, and there's a guy that y'all may know. I'm going to speak his name. His name is Mabin McKinley. And he was there with us, and we had his truck, and we had a trailer, and we had chainsaws. Y'all have been there. You've done the drill here. And we're sitting out there. Mabin says, you know what I'm about to do? He said, I'm about to blow their minds. Everybody get in. Let's drive. Where are we going? We're going to go help those people. Okay. And so we started talking to them, and there was all kinds of four-wheel drive trucks and all kinds of people that wanted to help. So they took the four-wheel drive trucks, started loading them up with stuff from the semis, got behind us, and we started driving into Biloxi. And there's people, wait. Hey, Megan, did you see anything? I didn't see anything. And we went in there, and guess what we started doing? Picking up sticks and plowing through. And pretty soon, the other people behind us were passing out stuff. And Alabama Power was able to cut the lines out of the way so that it'd be safe. And see, all that happened because Mabin knew he was anointed. He was called to do that. He pressed on. It's about faith, you guys. It's really about faith. It's about trusting things you can't see. The evidence of, we all understand that verse 11 in Hebrews. It talks about, it's something that's promised, but you can't really see it. So you got to believe it no matter what, but you can't really see it. Is that hard? When you hear somebody say, well, I just don't think I can do it, what's the first thing you think about? Yeah, you got to have faith. And they look at you and say, well, would you do it? And most times people say, well, hey, I'm not the one that was called to do that. That's your deal. But seriously, when God calls you to move for him, to be obedient, it's going to take one serious thing, faith. And you know what's going to also look like? It's going to look silly. Most of the time when you do something big for God, it's going to look silly. People are going to say, well, you can't. That ain't going to work. Mabin's deal. He just did it, and it worked. But he could have sat there and listened and waited and waited and waited. By the way, we went in and set up a camp downtown Biloxi on the beach, and it had showers and all these things. And people were staying there, and it was like a big blessing. It was right by Samaritan's Purse, and they hadn't even set up yet. And we were like, everybody come on. We'll do whatever we can. And we were so excited. 3 days later, FEMA came and closed down our camp and said, here, we're going to take that. It's doing so good. We need that. Okay. What did we do? We pressed on. We got another camp. We set up another camp out in the boonies. But you know what happened at that camp? It was in a little black church that wasn't even involved hardly in the area, but yet they were on the outskirts of it. And that church became huge. That fellowship and all these teams going in there, and it's grown now. That church is amazing what it's doing now. Simply because a guy by the name of Middleton who was with us said, I think we should do this. Because he had faith. You got to have faith. So what prevents faith? It's the final thing, guys. We're talking about Mark a minute ago. Mark chapter 9, verse 24, and I'll set it up for you. And this is the thing that you need to pray. Those of you right now, if God's talking to you and you're saying, you know what, I've always wanted to do something, but I was afraid to do it, or I wanted to do something, but I just can't get past this one thing. There's just this one thing that stops me. I want you to listen to this really closely. When Jesus came out down from the mountain of Transfiguration, his disciples, it says they were having comments, talking. You know, I would almost think maybe they're probably arguing with somebody about who knows. And there was a guy there with his son, and he said, here's my son from birth. He's had this defect, and the demons grab him, and they throw him in the fire, and they do all these things. And he said, well, how long has this happened? He said, well, since he's been born. And the disciples were there, and they said, well, we prayed for him, but nothing would happen. Nothing happened. And so the father said to Jesus, if you can help me. That's a question you've got to ask. If you can help me. And, you know, the Bible says that Jesus said, those of you with little faith can. But what really happened there, I think, is that Jesus looked him right in the eye and said, what's keeping you from believing in me? So Jesus asked the man, he said this. He said, do you believe? Do you believe? Oh, yes, Lord, I believe. That's what the man said. I believe. But oh, help me with my unbelief. Help me with the things that hinder me from the past. I know that he's done this to my son all these years, so it's probably how it's going to always be. Even your boys up here are like, well, they don't see how it's going to happen. They've been praying, and just help me with my unbelief. That's the prayer, you guys. Start this year off, know where you came from. Look at how far you've come. Look at who you really are. Be really in tune with who you are. And finally, pray against your unbelief. Because God needs all of us. A few years ago, we started a study here in the Purpose-Driven Life, and the first words in the book said, it's not about you. But I want to amend that to your thinking ways right now. I want you to understand this with unbelief and all that I've just talked about. It is not about you, but it's because of you. And it's by you and through you that you can be the literal hands and feet or body of Christ, reaching out, spreading the good news, being there to help those that need heat, being there to help those that need food, being there in all situations. It is about you because God can't do it by himself. And when the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you feel what you felt a minute ago when you first started up, when she was singing so beautifully and when Scott prayed so, that's the Holy Spirit telling you, look, I'm knocking. So pray for your unbelief so that you can hear the knocking. I'll invite you guys to come do what you do. And Lord Jesus, I just lift up all of us here again. Thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to allow us to just worship you. Father, I pray for those right now, Father, in such a special way that only your Holy Spirit would be in the hearts of your faithful now. That they'd be very in tune, Father, that they would understand that, yeah, this year is another year, but it's not going to be the same. That I'm going to go forward and be all I can be for you, Jesus. Amen.